Hello again, everybody. It's the second week of the month. We're joined by Terre Haute Mayor Duke Bennett from his office via Zoom. Hello and welcome.
It's always good to be here, Joe. Appreciate you continuing to do this.
Well, just a quick weather update. I know this will air on Wednesday morning, but there's talk of ice and maybe some freezing rain. I know you didn't get the 6 inches of snow some got in our listening area, but is everything okay over there and plows ready to go if needed?
Yeah, we're ready. It's just, you know, the other day we had some rain, and then it turned into frozen slush. And, you know, a lot of times it has to do with the timing of when that actually freezes and when we can get the streets, you know, taken care of. And so I think, once again, if you get a lot of freezing precipitation, not snow, but freezing rain, sleet, or a slush that freezes, that's the toughest thing to deal with. So we've evaded these storms pretty good so far. They seem to have gone just north of us or just south of us. So that's fine with me. I love a little snow every once in a while, but I would just as not have it hit the roads and stay there. I mean, any mayor will tell you that. It looks great, but it's a pain.
Yeah. Well, let's just get into an update on the vaccination process. State is now allowing, you know, a week or so ago, age 65 and up to register to be vaccinated. What's the process like going there in Vigo County? Are people able to register or get help if they're not able to?
Yeah, I've heard all positives about that. You know, the first few days is always kind of chaotic because everybody tries to hit it at the same time. But I know that Union Hospital just passed their 10,000th vaccination that they had given out there with the new expanded clinic that the county's doing, kind of a drive-through. It's the old Sears store at the mall. So you drive in, get your shot, pull outside, wait a few minutes before you leave. And it's been going very, very well. And so I don't have numbers today. I think the last time we talked, that the numbers change, you know, obviously every day, but things are picking up and people are getting their shots. I know that many of our policemen and firemen were well into the, probably getting into the 70% range now, at least with their first shot. And so I feel really good about accessibility. Now, whether the supplies last, that's always the part I don't hear about until a little bit when it gets more of a crunch time, because they want to keep everybody in a positive frame of mind, get on 211, make your appointment, and then show up for it. And everything works just like everybody would have hoped it would work. And so the key will just be having plenty of vaccinations.
It's interesting hearing all the different ways the vaccination is being administered in different counties. You talked about the drive-through and other places. What about those who are homebound and can't leave their house?
Yeah. And so, you know, there's efforts underway to do more and more of that. You know, I think some people are a little reluctant to call and ask for help because maybe they're kind of homebound and they think, well, I'm okay for now. My time will come. But, you know, your family and friends that check on you could obviously, you know, there could be a COVID interaction. So we need to get all these folks, you know, to get their vaccinations. I would just call 211, ask about that, call the Vigo County Health Department. They'll be happy to do that. And so whether it's getting you a ride to the clinic or getting somebody to help you at home, we'll figure out a way to make that happen as a community.
You mentioned this a little earlier in last month too about, you know, will there be enough vaccine? Are you getting any more information about the amount that's coming through?
Not really. You know, every once in a while the state will say there's more on the way. You know, they've ordered more. I believe that, but I don't know what happens once it gets to the state, how that distribution works. And if there are areas of the state that have a bigger demand than others, are they shifting those resources? That part I don't know. But my guess is the goal is to get as many people as vaccinated as fast as you can, even if it's the first shot only. And so that's a logistical nightmare when you think about having to coordinate that with 92 counties and getting them where they need to be as quickly as you can. I just worry about the supply chain here of getting enough to Indiana. I think they'll get it to where it needs to go reasonably well, but are we getting enough to cover our citizens? That's, I guess, is the question of the day that everybody's asking. So
do you agree with?
I would speculate that more's on the way, but you know, I don't have direct access to the numbers. Mm-hmm.
Do you agree with the way the state is administering the vaccine through age? I know a lot of people are upset that some who are younger, who are maybe more ill, or even professions like teachers are not getting it first.
You know, that's a great question. I hear that argument, you know, across the United States. Some states are giving it to teachers. Some states are giving it to other groups of people. You know, I guess that's what we count on our local, you know, in Indiana, the governor and his staff to make those kind of decisions. The more people who interact with people having the shots, obviously, is the best scenario. I don't want to second guess anybody, but my thinking is we just don't have enough vaccines yet, and they want to give it to the people who are most prone to, you know, face a reaction to COVID versus somebody who's healthy. And the sooner we can get it, you know, to teachers and others, that's what our target has to be. And so I get why they're doing what they're doing, but it's all about that volume. It's all obviously about expanding that, who can get the shot. So the sooner we get them to the teachers and others, you know, the better for all of us.
We've been reporting on COVID-19 in prisons. Almost 50% tested positive in a jail in the jail in Columbus. And I'm not sure if you saw, we reported two of our reporters tested positive after covering the executions there at the penitentiary in Terre Haute. Of course, that's federal, which is not under your jurisdiction, but we can take this to the city jail there, I mean, and county jail. Is this being managed correctly there?
It seems to be. You know, I think there was a little bit of an issue a little while back that made some headlines. An inmate passed away that apparently had COVID here, you know, and I've kind of followed that story, but don't know all the technical details. And I think that, you know, it's just a matter of time till it gets into a situation like that. And with everybody being in such close quarters to each other, it's impossible to keep it from spreading. You just have to find ways to mitigate that spread and try to not let it go totally rampant. And I think they've done that over here. The numbers are way down. The numbers are way down at the federal penitentiary now. You know, they just went through that big peak where it was hard to contain it. No matter what exercise you go through, separate people, wear masks, wash your hands, all the stuff you can do, prison and jail settings are pretty tough to keep people constantly away from each other. It's a tough environment. And, you know, I don't really think there's an answer to that. You know, some say let everybody, you know, out of jail or whatever, but in some cases you just can't do that. And so it seems to have settled down here locally, both in our county jail and the prison. The numbers, I think yesterday, the number I saw at the federal penitentiary was one new one. I didn't see any for the jail. So it seems like we're on the backside of that now.
Last week, Columbus Mayor Jim Lineup mentioned he wasn't sure he would sign a support COVID relief bill from the president, but he said he'd have to see it. He hasn't seen it, but that they haven't been affected like many cities because they're based on manufacturing. What about there in Terre Haute? Would you welcome a COVID relief?
Yeah, but just really for revenue loss. I mean, I think if Congress does it right, they should look at actual impacts on communities. And so if there was something out there, I could easily show and justify how much revenue we've lost that we'll never get back. You know, we've got some reimbursement through the original COVID monies that came to Terre Haute and all the other communities in Indiana. But there's an ongoing loss of some revenue. And so if there is money to come, let's make sure it's targeted to actual loss of revenue and not just budget shortfalls.
I wanted to get to a few other things too before we leave. I saw where you'll be serving as president of the Vigo County Solid Waste Management District?
Uh-huh.
So this is, from what I gather, it's part of a reorganization. So what prompted that and got you in that position?
Well, I've been on the board now for 13 years, and it's evolved from a multi-county activity to a single county, Vigo. Judy Anderson, a past commissioner, recently retired at the end of December, and she has served as the president for quite a few years, and the board selected me to lead it as we move forward. We do a lot of work through the solid waste district when it comes to recycling and community cleanups and providing materials and equipment to people who want to clean up our environment. All the revenues from that come from the tipping fees at the landfill that we have here in Vigo County. And so money comes back in to be able to help us to make Vigo County and Terre Haute a cleaner and more eco-friendly community. And so a lot of activity there. It's a continuous effort for us to make things better. And I'm just thankful that the group thought that would be good for me to lead it for this next year. So I'm excited about that. You know, I get to lead a lot of groups, but that's one that I've had a lot of input in and helped build it to where it is today. So it's kind of nice to be able to look at it from a little different perspective as the president and see what else can we do? What can we tackle now?
Well, and I guess that's the question. I know we've covered a lot of that the past, so many years doing the show. I even took a tour there after meeting with you years ago at the the solid waste district over there. And there were a lot of unfunded mandates that you had to figure out to continue working on. What's the next project?
Well, and the biggest thing that's really hit us most recently is ISU closing down the recycling center. And because of COVID, but whether it reopens or not, that remains to be seen. That was a huge, it was a great opportunity for people to recycle right in the center of the city. And when that goes away, there's a big void to fill. And so we've got that, you know, brand new office building on the north side. We're looking at a potential south location next. We're going to have to build that out because we're going to have to do things to keep items from going into the landfill or ending up on the side of the road. So that's what it's all about.
There's been more news with the gaming industry, just to kind of quickly, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but it all started with Spectacle Entertainment, became in the news for funneling money to different accounts and proper job offers to government lobbyists. That broke off, though, from the Terre Haute casino part last year. Then it became Spectacle Jack, with the casino opening September of this year, with the Hard Rock International theme. But now I believe it's known as Lucy Luck Gaming, with still the Roxino. What's next? What's going on now?
You got that exactly right, Joe.
Okay.
So it's been kind of a moving target. You know, I really feel for Greg Gibson, who, you know, put himself in this position to bring a casino to Terre Haute, and some of that stuff that happened before he even knew most of these people. Several years ago, before we even had the concept of the Terre Haute Casino, is kind of haunting the situation today. And so that's got to be cleaned up and dealt with. Here locally, he renamed it because it was still connected to, you know, the old guard, if you will, by name and by people that were involved a little bit. So he had to clean that up. And so now his focus is on getting this casino under construction. Still waiting on the gaming commission, but it's getting there. And then he'll have some more work to do up at the Gary Casino. So, you know, it's, these things are complicated when you put them together, and they're just as complicated to take apart. And so it's going to happen. I'm not worried about that. There's just more legal cleanup work to be done in order to totally separate Greg and all his interests from those folks from the previous partnership, let's put it that way.
So that's what's going on now. And is that what the Indiana Gaming Commission is waiting on?
I think they're waiting on figuring out what's going to happen with Gary, you know, how that's going to shake out. You know, they talk about taking the license away from Rod Ratcliffe, and there's just so many pieces to that that you don't just go fix one thing. There's probably 10 things that have to be fixed, and they're working through all that. So I'm still very, very optimistic. I'm not concerned about it. It's just, you know, it's got to be taken care of before things can move forward.
There's no date now in terms of breaking ground or anything?
No,
like,
other than the last I heard, it's still coming up soon. So it'll be in the coming weeks. It's just, you know, it obviously could get delayed again. It's been delayed for several months now, but things, I think the the fog is beginning to lift a little bit, and the tasks are at hand that will get resolved and it'll get moving forward.
You gave an update to the chamber there. I believe you can see it on the city webpage or on the chamber website. Can you just briefly tell us what you talked about?
And, you know, every year I try to give an update to the business community, and then we share it with everybody else. It's kind of my city update. We talked about some 2020 things that happened. We had a really good year outside of the COVID. You know, when you think about the COVID impacts, our economy sustained things very well because of our diverse economy. So that was good. Small businesses, you know, definitely struggling yet today. And we focused on talking about that a bit, that we got to support our local small businesses because, you know, they're living on the edge. And then when you kind of look at this year and some of the projects and plans that we have, this could shape up to be one of the biggest years we've had in a long time. How long COVID continues to impact us, I don't know. But it was probably one of the more positive reports that I've given in a while that didn't have, you know, a lot of unknowns about it other than COVID. And I feel like with the vaccinations, the way they're happening and our numbers going down over here, that we're on the right path, that maybe in the next few months, we'll kind of see the real light at the end of the tunnel. And I think this stands to be a good year for us from an infrastructure perspective, from an economic development investment perspective. It's just shaping up to be an exciting year for our community.
And I believe what Terre Haute got some of the money from the Community Crossings Fund. That's from the state, right?
Yep, that's a 50-50 match for us since we're a Class 2 city. So we got about $1 million. We're going to work on 4 projects this year that I talked about and rolled out to the media. So now we're looking at what's left over that we need to do this year. So we're kind of working on our final plans for paving besides the 4 big projects with Community Crossings. We're kind of in that mode where you get into that late January, early February to start gearing up for the construction season. So that's kind of what we're doing right now, modeling some things. We just completed our road inventory. So we'll be rolling out some more details on that in the coming weeks.
Is the new, I saw on the TripStar about a new overpass at 13th and 8th Avenue. Is that something that is tied to that?
A little bit. I mean, it's tied to our infrastructure plan, but it's funded through the local tracks grant that we received and in our match. Some of the media has been a little misleading on that. It talked about redesigning it. We didn't redesign it. They came to us with 2 scenarios, one with 2 bridges and one with 1 bridge. And the 2 bridge design is just too expensive. It's just, you know, getting to that $30 million range for a project that simply doesn't make any fiscal sense. So we're leaning towards the other one that's a little less expensive but accomplishes the same goal. And so we hope to start construction on that in 2023. That's where we're at right now. And we'll have another public meeting in a few weeks.
All right. Well, that's about all I had. Was there anything else you wanted to make any announcements or any updates? I know we didn't talk about the
police. I'm still got COVID on my mind, just like everybody else does. And so I'm feeling better about things, but watching very cautiously. As I said, I think we're going to have a very exciting year around here in Terre Haute and Beagle County. Things could be worse and we're going to get through this and we're going to finish it off and we're going to come out of it better than we were before. And so that's what I'll leave you with, is just my positive outlook. I really feel that way. I'm not just saying it. And I think that by the time we get to the end of this year, we'll look back and we will have learned a lot. And we will have accomplished a lot.
Well, and you have to say too, when you see these numbers now coming from the state every day, when they were up over 8,000 cases a day, and today I think I don't have it in front of me, but maybe it was 1,200.
Yeah,
that has to give you a little bit of a sign, doesn't it?
It does. I mean, at least it's not just looking at Terre Haute, you know, in a vacuum. But I think we had 20, you know, so in our latest count. That's really good. And testing is still going on. So, you know, I wouldn't say testing is ramping up by any means, but, you know, a lot of people are still getting tested. So hopefully we're through the worst of it.
All right. Thank you very much. We'll see you in March.
All right, thank you.